Oh, we topped it. Cold topped it.
Okay.
Try to get
it. Yeah.
Oh, we shanked it. Oh, look at that line, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, boy, is he out of sync.
Just before we start this podcast, I just want to have a message from one of our sponsors. One of our main sponsors is Apeiron Clothing, where you can get premium golf wear at discounted prices. Check out our website at www.apeiron-clothing.com.
In addition to the podcast being sponsored by Apeiron Clothing, the podcast is also brought to you each week by statbetting.com. If you go to www.statbetting.com, it's where you can play the Bogey Boys Fantasy Golf League, and it's where all our statistics are driven for the reviews that we do on the golf each week. So we hope you enjoy the show. Welcome back to another episode of the Bogey Boys podcast.
You're joined here by your hosts, Kevin and Mark. This is episode 10, Ram Rallies Augusta.
He does.
Up for debate, that name. But there we go.
There's a lot of pressure on you to announce them straight off the bat, isn't it?
Yeah.
He did ramp, though, didn't he?
He did, and he didn't. He obviously ramped
because
he won. But
no, there was he dominated.
There was no pressure on him, was there? Kepka just, like, I might as well have played.
You do see that from time to time, though, don't you? Like, somebody like Phil Mickelson can shoot 7 under 65, and then someone like Kepka, who's played unbelievable, then has 3 over final rounds. Didn't put a foot wrong, did he?
No.
And then he just couldn't get it going first round.
Well, then when he made that birdie on 13, which was like he held a good putt to make it, he hadn't had a birdie since the 8th hole in the morning. So he'd played nearly however many holes that is. Over 18 anyway. Like 22 holes or something without a birdie when he's... Well, he's been turned apart.
That's the pressure of, because it's not just the green jacket. It was highly publicised, the Live PGA Tour battle that was going on. You know, and you know, was he doing it for Live? All this talk about them coming to the 18th green to have a party at the end, and all that pressure of he's not just representing. I know he plays it down that, you know, he plays golf to win tournaments and play majors to win them, and he just loves to compete and he gets on with all the guys, etc. But ultimately, he was half doing it for Liv, weren't he?
Well, do you know what? When you actually look at the leaderboard, 3 out of the top 5 were Liv.
Yeah.
And I know you've got 2 past champions in Reed and Mickelson. Mickelson's had a great final round there. Reed had a great round. It's the only positive thing I've ever said about Patrick Reed in my life. But then it just shows you, like, is golf better with everyone?
Oh, yeah.
Like, Phil Mickelson's got a place in golf.
No, he has, yeah, but if you make your bed, you've got to line it, haven't you? You can't not allow people to come to the Live Tour and expect to just have the freedom to go and play where you like.
But like the Live Tour, everyone was invited.
Yeah, but it's capped. So if the top 50 players in the world or top 48 players in the world who were invited went and played it, then the PGA Tour's null and void, isn't it? How many Barbasol championships do you watch? How many Corrales Punta Canas do you watch? You don't watch them, do you? Because the top players aren't there.
Yeah.
So, you know, the top 50 go to Live. The PGA Tour is null and void, non-existent. And then what does that do to the DP World Tour and what does it do to golf? So I like the concept of Live players playing on Live. I like the concept of PGA Tour players playing on the PGA Tour and then the meeting at the majors.
But then how long does that last if the World Golf Rankings don't sort themselves out?
Well, that's another point completely, isn't it? The World Rankings are null and void as such now because...
How is that your word of the week, is it?
I think it is.
Null and void.
Episode 10, null and void.
Oh, my word.
I get a roll with it, don't I, on the tongue. But, yeah, they are, though. I mean, how can you say that two of the players outside the top 100 in the world, well, Phil Mickelson's like outside the top 400, isn't he? Is he 300 not or 400, sure, etc.? There's obviously not 300-odd players better than Phil Mickelson. And I know his form's not being the best. And there's always that argument of having experience around Augusta is sometimes better than going into Augusta with form because, you know, that pays
it's
dividends.
It's a one-off, isn't it?
But he shot 65 there, and I think that's the lowest score he's shot in 27 years around there. So
exactly,
you don't do that by just knowing the course. You've obviously got to play some really good golf.
Yeah, 1,000,000%. Like, and the way he, some of the shots that he was in, like that shot into 17.
Yeah,
I thought it was going in. I was at my seat, and then Spieth like matched him. But it was like obviously the PGA Tour and the and Sky coverage have got like a job to do. But until Mickelson caught fire back nine, it looked like Spieth was playing in a one ball. You see Mickelson drift past the camera every now and again, and they were talking about Spieth setting records. Oh my God, it's a little too late. All this, and at the time when they were reporting it, when they were harping on, Jordan was two under and Phil was three or one and two, whatever. Phil was beating him by a shot, and they were harping on about how good Spieth was playing. Then Spieth made a bogey, Mickelson made a birdie, and then they both went on a great run.
I think one thing I did notice about watching the coverage all week though was there is a change in the tide with regards to how they're treating live plays, and we'll come on to that in the golf news later because the legal battle's being decided now between DP World Tour and Live. I feel as though they were a lot more accepted at the Masters and the Masters. And even I think Rory said to me at the beginning, the tournament's a lot bigger than what's going on. But essentially, in golf, if you want the best product, every tournament should be bigger, shouldn't it?
Of course, but what I also noticed as well is that they were only accepted when they were doing phenomenal things. Like Koepka, you couldn't not show him because he was beasting the place.
Yeah.
Cam Smith hitting that three wood out the bunker and then knocking the eagle putt in. They showed that. And then he went on to, I think he bogeyed the next night, a few more birdies back nine. And there wasn't a shot of him shown.
I think that the difficulty that they've got as well is they don't always show everybody. Like Tyrrell Hatton was playing well at a certain point. Xander Schauffele was. Tommy Fleetwood was having a bit of a run, and they weren't getting shown.
Sky has got something against Tommy, you know. He's just never on the coverage, is he?
Yeah, and I think they've got a group of featured golfers that always will be shown. Tiger will always be shown. Rory, Ram, Scheffler, JT, Spieth. These are players that will always be shown when they're playing. So while they're taking all the coverage, because, you know, Rory's shooting, what did he shoot, 5 over 77 last second round?
So,
and you're pretty much seeing every shot that he hits. So it's got nothing to do with the form that they're playing in. Sometimes it's more the caliber of player.
People tune in to see how Rory McIlroy is getting on. People want to see Tiger Woods again. Yeah. But then, I just don't know. They were only showing like stellar live shots. Like Reed only got shown like that back towards nine the end, on the Sunday when he was making a bit of a charge.
Yeah.
Because there was no one else out there to watch.
Yeah. It's, you're essentially stuck between a rock and a hard place sometimes, aren't you? Because, like you say, you want to see Rory doing what he's doing, but do you want to see, I don't know, Charles Schwartzel struggling? Or
not struggling as such,
Taylor
but
Gooch struggling.
You want to see people, when people are doing, like, all right, you want to see how everyone's getting on. You want to see how the field's, like, lining up, like, away from, I know, obviously, you've got the winner, and, like, that's what people care about, but then you want to see, like, who's getting into, like, on the cut line and things, and like, I don't know, I just felt like the coverage was very biased, as you say, towards them top golfers in the world that do draw the biggest crowds, which is fair enough, but obviously you're trying to sell golf
for
to a...
Yeah, for a major, you want to see it.
You want to see everyone, like, I know they're trying to sell golf to the non-golfer, which is trying to show the best players and the people who they know, who they heard of, but then the avid golf fan still wants to see the players that, because they know more of the field, they want to see everyone. You want to see what's going on. You want to see what Jason Day's up to. You want to see what Cam Smith's up to.
Yeah.
Like these people who are making the cut. I know they show Freddie.
Yeah,
Couples.
So rather than just showing the top players constant, have more of a consistent approach across.
Yeah, I'd like to see how the leaderboard's forming and what's going on in elsewhere.
How it's changing, yeah.
Who's set to make a move on moving day? Who's set to make a Sunday charge? Like all these different things. Like if you just watch the coverage, you would think there were six players playing.
Fair point. Obviously, the Masters, we'll do a full review of that a bit later in the podcast show. But
in the podcast show.
Why?
Just never heard you say that before. It's great.
What would you call it?
Just later on.
Later on. In the
press
podcast.
In the press spot.
That's quality on it.
Unreal.
Yeah. So we've been about, haven't we, the past week?
We have.
We went up to Boomers and Swingers, done have an appear on clothing pop up shop.
I think we need to, next time we go there, one, publicise it a bit more so people aren't shocked to see us at the range, and two, make the game a little bit harder, because hit the tank for the cap. We nearly run out of hats. The big tank sitting there like 60 yards away.
happy customers, though.
They were, honestly, they were all buzzing. Yeah. It brought some proper energy to the range as well, just going down there, filming them all, like, hit the tank for a cap, go on.
It's a great buzz at that place, isn't it? With the music on it. Yeah. You know, they've got a different concept. If you've not been there, it's up at Astley. The old Astley driving range, was it?
Must be.
Now changed its name to Boomers and Swingers, being taken over, but they've got massive tanks on the driving range, and they call it whacking the golf ball. They've got different rules, haven't they?
Yeah, golf ball whacking field.
So you just go and you can have a lot of fun on there. So if you're in the local area in the Northwest, I'd definitely say go and pop your head in and have a nosy and hit a few balls. It's different, isn't it, to a normal driving range?
They've got it. Like, there's a list of rules. I can't remember them all, but like one that stuck out in my mind was, like, if you finish on a bad shot, there's a bucket of balls at the end of the range that setters take one for free or take a couple and don't leave until you've hit a good one and you're satisfied.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, you get to the end of your bucket and 9 times out of 10, I walk out and just get another ball anyway. Yeah. So it just stops that, and it's just a bit more lighthearted, a bit more fun, and there's tanks, there's skips, there's buckets, there's like having fun with the yardages. Like, instead of 70 yards, he's put 69 yards. Like, it's,
you know, 69-ish, wasn't it?
69-ish, and it's just trying to change the whole perception. And you know what? It's the busiest driving range I've ever been to.
It was chocker, wasn't it?
Like, yeah. I know golf clubs for cash were down there. They've got a good concept going where they buy your old clubs off you and like just give you cash then and there for it.
And then, they've got a warehouse in Warrington, is it?
Yeah, a big warehouse in Warrington where they store everything, and they've got all sorts.
And you can buy them then, can't you?
So yeah. I think we spoke to the guy. John was his name?
Yeah.
And we're going to go down and do a YouTube video and maybe borrow some hickory clubs or some wooden-headed persimmon drivers and just see how we get on with the older clubs.
Yeah.
Kick off the YouTube again, because
a bit of a different review and golf clubs,
yeah, club
element.
Review, yeah.
Club review, but with a twist, yeah.
So, but no, that was fun things lined up that come off the back of it. So
it was a good evening, wasn't it? Yeah, no, we'd done a little pop-up shop. The, as you say, the golf clubs for cash guys were there, and the golf range was packed.
Yeah. And there's a lovely bit of food around the corner as well. I can't remember the name of that pub.
It was
the Bull's Head. Was it?
I hope it went, because I hope we missed that.
I think it was, you know.
The Bullhead.
Yeah.
Maybe it was.
I don't know, but nice though. Just turn right, go down until you see a cozy little pub, and that's the one.
Yeah.
Food was nice, wasn't it?
Very nice, yeah. Very nice.
Well, all a great day out at Astley, really. It was. Somewhere I've never expected to go.
It was lovely. It was lovely. And then I had a 9-hole game with Jack McPhail.
Oh, yeah.
On Thursday.
I've seen a few swings on the Insta. Looks like he...
He's playing very well, you know, yeah. Yeah, just doesn't miss fairways and greens, to be fair.
That's what you want, isn't it?
Yeah, he played really well for the 9 holes that we played. Yeah, it was just a bit, there was only 2 of us that were playing, and there was a 4-ball tournament on, so just a bit slow for us, really, and we had to get back for a certain time, so we just went in, caught the start of the Masters. We're going to provide them with some appear on clothing this season, so if you're going on the Instagram and you follow our pages, we've got a page called the Appear on Athlete page. Couple of amateurs and professionals and juniors that we're supporting this season. So if you follow that page, you can keep an eye out on how the results are going. And then this Sunday is...
I've just on another point of Jack McPhail there. We just need, I know it's bad, but we need Jack Brooks to sort of like stop playing in order of merit, because Jack would have got the W at the Crosby Plate if it wasn't for Jack.
Yeah, 6 under for 2 rounds around West Lancs, which you spoke about last week. It's phenomenal golf, isn't it? Yeah, but obviously...
Next one's this Sunday, isn't it? At Delamere.
Delamere, yeah. You're not getting in any this year.
Sponsors invite. It's going to invite myself. You might even get in a few off that.
Nah, I'll decline, thanks. Not playing very well.
Yeah.
That's what first 4 or 5 holes, Jack was just walking with me, looking for my golf ball mainly.
Was he?
He was down the fairway. I just, on the second, I hit it into the tree on the left next to the tee.
No.
It's a big snap up. Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
And then
you're representing me.
Couldn't find the ball, so I just dropped one by you.
like playing with your dad when younger.
Yeah, it was. You know, you must have been thinking, what the fuck's going on here?
No way. But I haven't swung a club. I haven't swung a club since Portugal.
You've not?
No. I'm more of a hammer and circular saw guy at the minute.
Yeah, you need to get back out there.
I know. Tell me about it.
House is surely going to be finished soon.
Oh, it's come along.
Yeah, it's coming along. Yeah,
we'll get there.
Definitely, yeah. So on to golf news then. Obviously, the first one we just mentioned there, the DP World Tour, has won the legal battle against Liv players.
Jamaica, that?
Well, like I said before, so I've got to be careful not to contradict myself here, but like I said before...
Nah, just do it, innit? That's what we do.
So the PGA Tour, I like the way the PGA Tour is set up, and I like the way Liv Golf is set up. where they don't play on each other's tours, but then they meet at the majors because ultimately they are the best players in the world. Whereas on the DP World Tour, you haven't got the best players in the world playing week in, week out. So if you're getting some...
That's the money's right.
Yeah, well, if you're getting some live players, that will prop up that field.
And it draws a bigger crowd.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm not... No disrespect to any DP World Tour player, but if Bryson DeChambeau and Dustin Johnson are there, it makes it a better event.
Yeah, no, it does. You're right. And ultimately, I've not spoken to any players about this, but you would assume that they'd want to put themselves up against that caliber of player, major champions.
Like if I was playing,
major champions
wanna,
in a tournament, yeah,
I'd want that there.
You want to prove yourself against the best, especially if now the DP World Tour are given 10 spots to go on the PGA Tour. You want to be ready to take on that tour, don't you?
Of course.
Because it's obviously a higher level than the DP World Tour. So if you get that opportunity to play, and I know the Rolex Series events do give you that opportunity, but not all players get in that. So if you've got, I know they're over in Asia, they're off this week, and then the next 2 weeks they're over in Asia, and then I think it's Japan and Korea they're playing. And then they're in Europe then, right up till September.
Yeah.
So it's a constant, like the Italian Open, the Denmark, et cetera, Czech Republic. So, you know, if you're getting some of the top players from LIV wanting to come over and play in those events, you'd want to welcome them with open arms. So it doesn't mean that the band, it just means that the DP World Tour are in control now, so they can decide whether these players can play. Whereas if they were eligible to play, they could just rock up and play. Like, now they can't just say, I'm playing.
Like Pele come out saying, like, oh, they don't support the lesser events. They only rock up when the bigger purse is there. They only do that. And it's like, well,
that's what the PGA Tour players do.
That's
yeah.
what they do anyway. So yeah. what do you actually want? I feel it's another nail in the coffin, mate. Like you said, I remember you saying, like, you could promote. It's the only tour where they can meet. The drama that it caused and the stare that it caused when they turn up at the majors and play against each other. Reed, Rory having a little bit of beef on the tee in Dubai.
Yeah.
Like all these little things. The ad, like that tournament was made 100 times better.
It adds value to the
by Reed playing well and Rory having to sink a putt to beat him.
Yeah.
If that goes to a playoff,
yeah.
Like people are tuning in just because it's PGA, it's Rory versus Reed, it's PGA versus Liv, it's on the DP World Tour. People are tuning in.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Whereas, and I don't know what the viewing figures were like, but I could say, guess, educatedly.
You would imagine they would be higher.
They'd be higher, yeah, a million percent. Yeah,
of course. One thing that's positive that comes out of this news is that the DP World Tour haven't said that the band, have they?
Mm.
Whereas the PGA Tour have said, if you go and play on LIV, you're banned, you're not coming to the PGA Tour, you can never play again. I don't believe, unless I've got that wrong, but I don't believe the DP World Tour have done that, have they?
I've only seen Pele's comments. I haven't fully looked into the full article of what's going on, but I know that they won.
Yeah,
the case.
The way I read it was the DP World Tour, by winning that case, now have control over whether LIV players can play or not. They haven't put a strict ban on it, but we'll see what comes of it.
But they can appeal. That's another thing.
But they appealed. This was the appeal, wasn't it?
Well, they can appeal again because this is on Thursday, this article.
Oh, they're going to appeal again?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Right, okay. Other golf news then is disappointing for Will Zalatoris, but there's one talking point on this I want to try and thrash out with you. Obviously, Will Zalatoris is out for the season after getting surgery, after he withdrew from the Masters. He won't play at all this season. He's currently 7th or 8th in the world at the moment.
Yeah.
So a couple of things, really. How's that going to impact his world rankings throughout the season? Because he's obviously going to drop down, isn't he?
Well, and if then, it's on a two-year rolling, then once another year goes by, you lose your year, don't you?
This is what I'm saying, yeah.
So he's going to tumble.
He is going to tumble. Other players are going to be playing in those next 12 months. And next year, the designated events are changing to limited field, no cuts. So only the top 50 or in the world rankings and the top 30 from the FedEx plus invites are going to get in, a couple of invites. So Zalatoris may be saved by the invites, but where does that put him with regards to...
He's going down a tier, really, isn't he? Because of his... It's unfortunate, but he's going to be playing in the non-designated, isn't he?
I don't know how it works with the injuries, whether he gets an injury exemption and he keeps his...
Not into the world ranking. He'll be able to play on the tour, But I don't think you get it in if it's based on the criteria of world ranking.
No, so it's going to be interesting with these changes on the PGA Tour, how it does impact somebody like Will Zalatoris, who's obviously now injured. In normal terms, he would keep his card. He would go straight back to playing all the big events. But is he now going to be excluded from the big tournaments, the big money purses, because of this injury?
I'd say he will, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Similar to what Hudson Swafford went through this year, yeah, where he's got an injury and he's obviously can't play on the live this season. So we'll look into that a bit more, because that was obviously just something that's come to my mind before we recorded today, about how this injury is going to impact him next season when the tour changes.
Yeah, well, it's unfortunate, isn't it? But it's, especially with him being out for that long, depending on how far he falls as well, it's all just going to depend out if they changed the world ranking. I know they've only just changed it, but there is a lot of call to,
and we did talk,
to modify.
We did talk about the saving, I think, was a 3 to 5 spots for invites as well. And we mentioned that was essentially to give Tiger an invite if he wanted to play. But I suppose Zalatoris could take a couple of those invite spots, and try and earn his way back in there. That would be the fairest thing to do, wouldn't it?
It would. But then at the end of the day, you just don't know it these days, do you? It seems to have gone a bit of a harsh sport. Just to fact check what you were talking about before, Pele's saying that everyone's got commitments to play another tour that conflicts with the DP World Tour qualifying events. And then he said, we never ban them. It's their choice. If they adhere to the consequences, pay the fines. If they live to the consequences for breaching the rules that we impose of them in the future, then we'll welcome them back. So anyone who's got a membership,
that's promising. The door's half open, isn't it?
Sergio McDowell, Keimer, you know, Poulter Westwood, who are actual members. They've played, they haven't lived up to the, obviously they've played live when they should have been playing.
They played the conflict of events. They got the 100K fine.
Yeah, so the door's not shut.
That's good.
Basically, there's your fact check.
Thanks,
mate. Live.
Appreciate that.
Fact check for Doc.
And then a couple of more pieces of golf news. The first one, it was Jason Day's comments. He said
that
Tiger withdrew from the PGA last year because one of the screws went through his skin in his foot, popped through the skin.
It's heavy, that.
You just don't appreciate,
you're half crying off a splinter or a stub toe, aren't you? Never mind a screw coming from the inside.
I know.
Was it the head of the screw or the spiky bit?
I didn't go into too much detail.
Like when we were looking at it, we thought, oh, he's withdrew because he's miles away from the court, and you know what I mean. He withdrew from the US Open. He wants to save himself for St Andrews. But when you look at that, and his screws are coming through his leg. It's like,
yeah, I think withdrawing from the Masters was probably because he had such a poor third round.
Yeah, and obviously the weather and the quick turnaround, the little rest. If that was just a,
and it's a demanding course as well, isn't it?
Yeah, especially with the hills. The walks and yeah, stuff, I so. Know. I've been there, haven't I? So.
But we'll see what comes of Tiger. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see whether this is just a, I'm not going to do nothing with this. I've made the cut. I've tied the record now. So let's just, what is it, tied 23
insult to industry. You're just adding more pain and pressure.
Let's rest and concentrate on the next one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But on the point of the,
but it wasn't promising, was it? Even on the Thursday, he looked like he was limping a little bit, and
it
smells like the beginning of the end.
It does.
It makes me cry, really, to say that.
Does it? No, it does, to be honest. Yeah, there was nothing promising about this Masters tournament, which made you think. You know, when he played Riviera, his ball speed was up.
Beat Rory, though, didn't he? Which is,
I think most players
beat Justin Thomas. Like, there's
don't get me wrong. It's just, but you don't want Tiger middle of the pack. You want him competing. Like, what's the point of him being there just to be middle of the pack? You're only seeing him 4 times a year, maybe 5. You want to see him, like, when Tiger's turning up, you want to be excited to think he's going to win this. Like, I have got no hope in Tiger Woods competing for the rest of the season. I know. Sorry to upset you, mate.
But I know, but you're right.
Yeah. Whereas when he played at
he's
Riviera,
going nowhere near my picks ever again.
When he played at Riviera, there was all sorts of stuff online about his ball speed and how well he was hitting it. And, you know,
even with the PNC, when he was, like, flying birdies in, and it was like,
yeah,
it was boss one, and then he made the cut. He was under par, like last year.
But the Augusta there was just a battle, wasn't it?
Battle.
and you see him play shooting 8, 7, 6 unders, he just doesn't seem like he's got that in him at the minute.
No. Which breezing is, it as well.
Yeah.
Like they were breezing 7 unders. What,
yeah,
like...
exactly. So, be interesting to see, because, you know, his next one's going to be the PGA Champs, isn't it, if he decides to play in that. So, hopefully he's back stronger, but I don't know. I'm with you. I think maybe the beginning of the end for Tiger.
It's sad, isn't it? But
yeah.
He'll,
On the point of the Masters, though, there was a bit of news that came out, a bit of controversy about Brooks Koepka. He had a controversial rule, and what do you think of that?
I think they were clutching at straws, weren't they? Maybe if the caddy might have done something, but Koepka, they were saying that Koepka took his glove off, like with 5 fingers in the air like that. And I was like, and Koepka was like, what?
No.
Are you on about? But Woodland was 22 yards ahead.
Yeah.
So even if he did it 5, Woodland's longer than him anyway. He would have been sailed into the pond the at the back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So for anyone who hasn't seen it, obviously Brooks Koepka it to 5-iron into 15, didn't he? And his caddy, Ricky Elliott, looked towards Woodland's caddy, Brennan Little, and seemed to signal 5-iron. He says, 5, 5, as he's looking at him. But in their defence, what Ricky said is he was signalling that to the scorer. The scorer for the stats for the television and things like that.
I was just telling him what part it was.
But obviously, according to Rule 10-2A, a player must not give advice to anyone in the competition who is playing on the course, ask anyone for advice other than their own caddy, or touch another player's equipment to learn information that would be advice if given. So what they were saying is that's a potential breach rule, because Ricky was telling Brennan that he did a 5-iron, and that was the controversy. But
yeah,
obviously they'd given their story to the officials at the end of the tournament, and they were happy that no rules were broken. And I think Brooks even said at the end, look, when we were walking off the 15th, he asked me what I hit into it at that point. So no, he didn't know what I hit.
I can secretly Woodland and Koepka, like, got away with that one there.
Close call. But I follow a few caddies on Twitter, and I can't remember which one it was, but one of them...
Casey's one.
Was it Casey's one?
I think
And he just says, like, these things happen all the time. It's like...
2 wrongs don't make a right, though, do they?
No. I think it's just one of them rules that it's a rule, but it's not really enforceable.
Yeah, because you could just say anything. Do you want to see a good story about Adam Scott? He was on a podcast and he was talking about playing with Tiger, and he was talking about like how ruthless and like how he doesn't want like anyone to get an advantage. So he pulls 5-iron out on the tee. I think it was at St. Andrews, and he puts it back. You know, he sees Scott look in the bag, so he puts it back, takes 4. It's this like high thingy of 4-iron. So Scott like looks and then swaps his club to 4-iron. Airmails the green, and Tiger looked at him and like must have took a bit off it, or like it's a little yeah, putty shot. Yeah. And then he goes to Adam Scott, don't ever look in my bag. Sick. And then Scott was just like, I was just like, okay, sick that in it.
Unbelievable. It's Tiger Woods for the winner.
Well, that's it. Yeah. You know, I've got a bit of golf news. Well, it's not news, it's more of a quiz question for you.
Okay.
Like Do these. You know how they get the size of the Masters champion jacket so quick? The jacket made like to put on the winner.
No, I've always wondered that though. Go on.
Yeah. So what they do is, so say the start of play, it's Koepka and Rahm, they know their sizes, and they go around all the patrons and find someone who's like a similar size, keep them on standby, or whoever. If someone starts making a charge, they find someone who's going to be the, like if Reed's going to win, they find a smaller patron, and they get that patron to wait by the 18th green. Whoever wins, they get that jacket off the patron, put it on for the ceremony, and then the next day get one tailored and made to the size of the player. Because every patron that's a member of Augusta's got a green jacket.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Right, okay. When you said patron, and I was like...
Me?
Yeah. I was like, what?
No, every single okay, yeah, member so every has member, got a jacket. Yeah. As soon as you join Augusta, you get a green jacket.
Right, okay.
So and when you win the Masters, you become a member of Augusta. That's why you get the green jacket. So there's just like all the patrons plodding around there. One of them has to give the jacket away for the ceremony. Sick, isn't it?
Yeah, I didn't know that, yeah.
I know.
Nice little bit of information. Thanks, Kevin. Yeah.
You're welcome. Imagine I just made that up.
That time again?
It is. It's that time again, y'all. The birdie boogie buzz. The birdie
boogie buzz. Birdie. What's your birdie?
My birdie's a bit of a mad one this week. So it's Sam Bennett.
Yeah.
But not for us like playing and make the cut, silver medal, first time in 3 years, all of the rest of it, superstar, blah, blah, blah. It was his interview after round two. He said, oh, Sam, you're mixing it. You're 4 under or you're 8 under. Like, you're doing well. Like, do you think you can win? And he goes, absolutely, yeah. I was just like, what?
But that's the caliber of the modern day college golfer now.
Oh, 1,000,000%. All credit to him. All credit to the college system. Americans, like, the way they're ready to go. But
yeah,
just to say it, no, I've never heard an amateur say it on live telly in an interview.
He went on to
and
say,
he was just like, yeah, I believe I can. Just like staring at the, like,
yeah,
he's got like that Dustin Johnson, like,
he's a bit of a legend.
Yeah,
he even said, you know, I've played tournaments on golf courses that are much tougher than Augusta when they were asking questions about like the test of the course. So, like, he's not phased. You know, a lot of people get overwhelmed by the occasion, which I think he did on the Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, the weather doesn't help. But, you know.
He didn't. I know he cracked a little bit and made a few bogeys, started making a few mistakes, but he didn't go away.
No.
He was in there till the bitter end.
Yeah, no. And he'll be back next year as well.
Unbelievable.
Get an invite next year, so fair. All credit to the lad, and you know, you can see
Hero's welcome back at the college as well. Do you see him going in?
Yes,
boss that
quality stuff. And so true.
Oh, 1,000,000%. Yeah,
yeah.
What's yours?
Mine is the success of the inaugural Bogey Boys Fantasy Golf League.
Yeah, the point. Yeah, I think we've got a good balance there, haven't we? With the amount of points and the way it's all split evenly, like. I think the Masters is a bit of a mad one as well because you've got like, you had like Phil Mickelson, pot threes. Like, when do pot threes ever make charges to nearly win the thing?
Yeah. Well, it's going to be a bit different this week because you've got obviously a full field. There's like, what is it?
143.
35 players in each pot, yeah. 36 players in each pot. So it's a lot more difficult as you get to pot three and four this week. But, you know, I just think we've changed the pointing system slightly. We've put it online. It's all been integrated through coding and things like that. And fair play to the lads at Stat Betting as well for getting that over the line and getting it done. Big shout out to them. You know, I think this was the first test, wasn't it, of it being in a live environment, and it just went so smoothly. So my birdie was just that, you know, we put a lot of work and effort into getting this product live, and we believe in it, and we think it's going to be a really good game and interaction for golfers to use over the years. So I'm just glad that it went well. More relief in the birdie than a...
I had full faith in it, but it's just nice. I know, obviously, you were doing the brunt of the work with the spreadsheets, but it's just nice that you just ding, 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 and it just goes... Yeah. And you just it's done then. And it updates live, and it's what we always dreamed of, isn't it?
It is what really, we dreamed of, yeah. Well, this is why it's my birdie, because it's like, you know, you had a little go with the spreadsheet, but like, it was mainly me wearing it, the pain that you go through on getting that spreadsheet every week. And it used to take me like up to 2 hours sometimes just to put all the data in and then just to get this one picture on Instagram, which was the league table. Nobody really appreciates the work that goes into that. So I think now that needed to happen in order to test the game and make sure that the game worked and it was good. And we've had nothing but positive feedback throughout the times that we've ran the league. They got a bit much for us last year, didn't we, with everything that we had going on. So we didn't really finish the league last year. But obviously this season, it's like, didn't have to do a tap there.
No.
And we've got everything updated, everything online. And it was just, it's a welcome relief.
Yeah.
And it's me baby.
And it's only going to get bigger and better and stronger, isn't it?
Like, of course it is, yeah.
The more we go on and the more investment we can put into it and the more players that play, it's only going to grow.
So if you want to get involved in the fantasy league, if you go to www.patreon.com, so Patreon is a well-known site for subscriptions, and it's called Bogey Boys Fantasy Golf League. So if you just type it in, www.patreon.com/BogeyBoysFGL, it's £4 to play, and then we've got cash prizes and vouchers for the winners. So we're doing winning the lowest point scorer. Sorry, the highest point scorer for the major championships. So Josh won £50 a pair on clothing vouchers. Then we do a order of merit points tally for the month where we're giving £100 cash to the winner. No, £50 cash to the winner.
Yeah.
£30 a pair on voucher for second place. And then the overall for the whole 17 events It's £100 cash for first, £70 cash for second, and then £50 a peer on clothing voucher. So in total, it's in excess of £700, was it?
Yeah.
That we're giving away in prizes this year. So yeah, just get involved if you want to play. That's the way to play it. Or send us a message on the Bogey Boys website, Instagram, whatever you want to call it. It's all of it too much with that explanation. Yeah. What's your bogey?
My bogey, just Tiger withdrawing and the pain he looked in, and it's the first time I've thought, like, is it over?
Yeah.
And I don't like them thoughts coming into my brain because I've got a better bust.
Okay, right. Well, my bogey is Rory McIlroy's performance. Just for the life of me, can't understand how he's playing so well. I was doing everything right in every tournament he plays. The week before at the match play, he nearly got to the final. He's competing week in, week out. And then he just seems to get to Augusta. And I know he had a really low round and finished second last year, but that doesn't really paint the picture of how he played for the first 3 days. He was quite steady, weren't he? Didn't really do nothing special. But yeah, 72-77. Tiger's coming out before it saying he will win it one day. I've got full faith in him. I'm thinking he's definitely going to win. I picked him in my picks, you know, and he's just done everything right in his career, but he just can't seem to get this one. It's just like this Grand Slam is just career Grand Slam. It's just hanging over him.
Yeah, it's like he's almost put like this. I know there's a lot of pressure and like everyone's piling pressure on the media, pile pressure, but there's no one piling probably as much pressure as he's piling on himself.
Yeah.
And then I just think that.
But his game suited for it.
Oh,
though,
of course.
It?
Yeah. Like I think I just since
maybe
that
that change in putter came too soon, maybe.
It wasn't even the putter, though. It was everything, wasn't it? He was all over the place.
Yeah.
And then since that time when he had it on one hand in the sleeve,
yeah,
and then he blew up, it's just going to haunt him, isn't it? Like, it's even if he gets in position and he's back around Sunday, that's still...
Like for the
he needs to get to the 18th before anything happens. Like, he's mad.
The career that he's had so far, like, if he doesn't win that green jacket... That's all people will talk about.
Oh, yeah.
The amount of majors he's won, the PGA Tour events he's won, got to world number one, being the, you know, the leader in the PGA Tour through all this live controversy, etc. Everything good that he does for the game, you know, everyone's going to be saying, but you never won that green jacket.
Exactly.
So he does. I'm just disappointed for him. I was hoping he'd get it over the line. But
even like Scheffler didn't have his A game, didn't have a good tournament, but he's still about. Still hanging in there, still a couple under, pottering around, could make a charge. Like, he just played himself out of it, didn't he?
Yeah, well, that's what I said when I picked him. I said, as long as Rory doesn't play himself out of it in the first couple of rounds, if he makes the weekend, he's got a good chance. And then he just fucking blew up second round 77. So, yeah, I don't know. Just disappointing, Bogey. What's your bust?
Patrick Cantlay.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, even Koepka said, like, the group in front was brutally slow. John went to the bathroom like 7 times during the round, and we were still waiting.
I know. Well, you see on 13, Patrick Cantlay's walking up towards Rae's Creek, and while he's walking,
Hovland's chipping
onto the green. Yeah, just...
Like, you can tell, like, that affected Hovland's game.
You can tell Hovland's looking at him, and it's just like, it was just unnecessary. It was even the way he was walking. It was like he was doing it on purpose. I don't know whether... There's someone he doesn't like in that final group. Or...
Yeah, maybe he's just trying to, you know, who's that? But even like, I know he's obviously, even if he like was trying to like upset Koepka, because Koepka likes to play fast, like he's upsetting Rahm as well.
Yeah. Well, they both like to just get on with it.
Yeah.
They are.
They're no nonsense.
They're no nonsense. Just get on with it. Pre-shot routine, hit the ball, line the putt up, hit the putt. You know, he's just like 15 steps with his toes, doesn't he?
He needs to, like, there needs to be punishment for that.
But do you know, I think, was it the 8th hole? And, like, him and his caddy were looking at a putt and he kept stepping away from it. And it was only, like, I'm not saying only a 6-foot putt. You're not expected to hold them all. But, like, he was taking ages over his putting and he was still missing.
That's, yeah.
So, like, you know, if he's knocking them in and he's contending, you can it's still bad. But you can half say, do you know what? That's his game.
Yeah.
You have to get on with it. But he wasn't making a charge. He wasn't making a move. And he was just, like... Yeah, sort of.
It was half ruining. He ruined Hovland's round. He's basically slowed the final group down, and he's spoiled the whole tournament, really.
Yeah.
Like, I know it's a bit harsh, but like, I believe Patrick Cantlay ruined the 2023 Masters.
Justifiable bust, then.
What's your bust?
Mine is something we spoke about earlier again. It's the official world rankings being used as the main criteria for the majors.
Yeah.
And just what that's going to do to golf moving forward. We're not really feeling the impact now because, you know, a lot of players that have gone to the likes of LIV, you know, some of them are major champions and have got that 5-year exemption. So they're going to be able to play for a few more years, and a couple of them finished top, like Koepka finishing top 10. He's going to play next year, etc. But, you know, the criteria to qualify for the Masters has always been obviously past winners in the PGA Tour. So that's fine. That's a criteria. So, you know, if you win a PGA Tour event, you get a place in the Masters. That's not changed. LIV players won't get that opportunity anymore.
Unless the Masters extended, say if you win a LIV event.
Well, this is it. I don't think they're going to do that. And that's why it's me bush. You know, you've also got top 50 players in the world get an invite. And then the top 30 from the FedEx. So the Masters is basically filling the field based on the PGA Tour, which has always been the case.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying just because LIV has entered the building that you have to change all your criteria. But I think when players of that caliber who make the tournament as good as it was this week really add value to the Masters, then I think you have got to sort of
like one,
take a step back.
One in the top 10, LIV would be like, all right, we can compete. Two, three in the top 10, but three in the top five?
Yeah.
That's grounds for changing things, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. I think so. And I think we spoke earlier, didn't we, about this new PGA Tour format and how that's going to affect Zalatoris. But, you know, that is going to essentially...
That could drive him to LIV.
Zalatoris, if he doesn't get in. Potentially, yeah. It just depends how they treat him, isn't it? The PGA Tour have got a responsibility now to treat the players a certain way because there is that exit now.
Yeah.
You know, so, but I do think that what the risk that we're going to run is you've got next year, you've got designated events on the PGA Tour, which are going to be fields of 70 with no cut. Mm-hmm. We spoke about that a couple of weeks ago. So what you're going to run the risk of is having the Masters just being an additional event to that.
Yeah.
Where it's just going to be the exact same as that with a couple of extra players, past champions.
And you get a major.
And amateurs, but I know Sam Bennett's an exception to the rule, and we do get the odd amateur over the years that does come through and shine, but majority of the time the amateurs don't compete at the Masters.
No.
Hardly make the cut. So it's only Sam Bennett who made the cut, and then previous to that, I think was it Hovland who made the cut last time?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's an interesting one to keep an eye on, but there's a lot of pressure on the official World Golf Rankings now to start to do something, because I think, like I said before, there was a slight change in the tide to how LIV players were treated at major tournaments there, and they're not going away anywhere, but they would be a massive miss if they weren't to play in the major championships. I understand why they don't play on the PGA Tour, because the products are so different, but, you know, I just think that
it's like that when we spoke about the tennis one, I think we spoke about it a few times, but Djokovic wasn't allowed into Australia because of the whole vaccine debate. And the Australian Open went ahead without the world's best player.
Yeah.
So when you're winning that, you're straight away, you're getting an asterisk. You won it, but the best player wasn't there. So would you have won it?
Yeah.
Like, probably not.
Yeah.
So would you really want to win it? I know you take the money and you'll take the accolades, but deep down, you want to beat Djokovic.
Yeah.
Deep down, you want all the best players to be in front of you and beat them all.
The majors have always got to be different and always got to stand alone.
Yeah.
Same with the Ryder Cup as well. Like, these tournaments, they're not tours versus tours.
Yeah, they're separate entities.
They're separate entities. It's a tournament of the champions, really. Like, you want to see the best fields at the major championships. And the Masters did have the best field.
They should open up. Like, I know they have the tournament of champions, but then a separate entity altogether. Tournament of champions and get all the champions from the years, from the Asian Tour, from the DP World, from LIV, from the PGA, and have one big fuck off champions.
One big fuck off tourney.
Yeah, big tourney, mate. Throw the balls up, grand in each, and just have it.
Better ball match play.
Don't know why fuck off just felt like it just needed that. It, didn't it? Oh, big mazzy one.
Big massive fuck off, Tony.
Have that.
Well, let's move on to the big fuck off mazzy tournament.
Just let me go back to my post. A point that I've seen on the internet. the only player that's been penalised for slow play was a 14-year-old Chinese or amateur kid who got penalised at Augusta for slow play.
Playing with Tiger as well.
Why is Cantley, or there's probably other culprits out there, not getting slapped with some sort of fine or penalty?
Well, it's because of the way the rules set up, isn't it? They get so many warnings. Like, they get a warning for a warning for a warning for a warning. So by the time it actually gets to the penalty,
like, I remember, I was put on the clock at open qualifying and there was no one waiting.
I know.
So surely they're waiting. If there was someone's waiting, then surely they're on the clock.
Yeah. Well, I don't know whether they actually...
Like, how slow was that Chinese kid for him to be getting it?
Yeah, I don't know. Because he got it on 18, didn't he?
Come on.
Yeah. Pretty sure he got it on 18.
I think that was the last time he played golf, wasn't it?
He missed the cut by two as well. Or one.
Disgusting.
It was controversial, wasn't it?
Anyway, sorry. Moving on to Mazzy Tony's.
So... the Masters, then, we have to talk about John Rahm first, don't we?
Yeah.
You know, I think fourth win in 2023, back to world number one, first European to win the Masters and the US Open.
That's probably the most shocking to me.
Yeah.
Like,
the Masters is so difficult to win, isn't it?
It is, but you think that, like, I don't know, it is.
So many Europeans have won the US Open, but it's the Masters, that's the... You know, not many Europeans win the Masters tournament, do they? Now, over the years, Sergio Garcia, Danny Willett won one, you know, but, you know, if you look over history, the majority of winners of the Masters is American, aren't they?
Yeah, Seve.
Seve's obviously won it twice. Ollie, yeah. So, you know, he becomes the fourth Spanish player to win it as well, and it was on Ballesteros' birthday, which is...
Well, Seve, Garcia won it on Ballesteros' birthday as well.
Right, okay.
Class that, isn't it?
The way it just happened to
me. Yeah, 2017 he done it, and then...
Unbelievable. Yeah. Oh, yeah, 40 years after Seve's second win as well, he won it 40 years ago to the day, back in 83, so...
Yeah, he's the second person to win the Masters after starting with a double as well.
Yeah.
Sam Snead, 1952.
When he made that four putt, did you see in his interview as well what he said about Zach Ertz? Unbelievable, that one.
No, what did he say?
So Zach Ertz is an NFL player. I think he played for the Patriots and the Eagles. He's won the Super Bowl, like, and he said, I got a text message off one of my friends, and he was like, I'll name him, it's Zach Ertz. Obviously, everyone knows who Zach Ertz is in America. And he texts me and says, this first green's a walk in the park. Because it was situated in the bowl, wasn't it? So everyone was just spinning it close. And he went, and then I went on to four putter. Everyone just started laughing. It's crazy. So like, please don't do that again.
It's weird, isn't it? Like, the last two, it shows you like how like golf isn't, like as you always say, golf is not a game of perfect. The last two, and they're both like, you know, world number ones at the minute. Like, the world number ones are batting passing thing at the minute. Both four putters.
Yeah.
Scottie Scheffler four putter to win it, and Rahm opened with a four putt.
Yeah.
Both the best players in the world.
Rahm didn't even make the 18th fairway on that last hole, that tee shot.
Awful.
Do you know? So it just shows you, doesn't it? Like, you know, imagine he'd have hit that tee shot on a hole where there's water left or something.
Well, this is what I was thinking as well. I was like, Koepka half ruined it by having no pressure, because although Rahm was hitting a few amazing shots, like that shot into 14 where he's sliced it round like the tree with like a 9-9 or whatever, after Koepka playing a little bump and run onto the green. I know obviously Koepka went on to three putt it and Rahm held the putt, but that shot under that pressure, like high stakes, but everyone was with him, the wind, and it was, but it's still, you gotta pull it off.
It, yeah, of course.
Then going down the stretch, like down 15, Rahm missed the putt, like Koepka made birdie. Like, if that was a little bit closer going into down the stretch, Rahm, he's got what, 4 or 5 shot lead going down the last, and just snipes into the trees. Like, if that doesn't bounce out and you've only got a one-shot lead, although he did go on to make par, that par is 10 times more difficult, or making a bogey. You can apply a little bit more pressure onto it. Rahm, he didn't look unbeatable.
Yeah. Well, it means so much, doesn't it? You know,
Of course.
He even says at the end, this one was for Seve. I know he was out there helping me, and help he did. That's what Rahm said. So he's obviously thinking about these things whilst he's playing. Like, this would be so good to win on Seve's birthday, because he always talks about the history of golf. He's one of them players who constantly goes back, doesn't he? So you know, you look at Brooks Koepka. Brooks Koepka had a 4-shot lead when the third round delay happened.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Then after the 54 holes had concluded early Sunday, he had a 2-shot lead. But that 4-shot lead was taken away like that.
Yeah.
So you, like what you're saying there about Rahm having a 4-shot lead, you know, if you do apply that pressure, it can be taken away so quick at Augusta. We've seen it time and time again.
Of course, just
look
yeah.
at what happened with Rory that time when he had the demanding lead. Look what happened to Greg Norman when he had the demanding lead.
Spieth had a good one.
Knocks in the water. Even Koepka, when Tiger won in 2019.
Yeah.
You know, he faded away. So, you know, it just so happened to be that Brooks was the one that sort of faded away and couldn't get going. So
it was mad as well, like, because, you know, obviously you say, like, the draw favours you, and, like, Koepka was, like, in the clubhouse when... Home and dry, exactly. And then
Koepka was home and dry after the.
It's almost like the weather delay and the weather changed. Like on that Saturday, it went from 29 degrees on Thursday, Friday, with like a southwesterly wind, and then on that Saturday it dropped to 10 degrees. That's a 20 degree nearly drop in temperature.
It's and like changed the distance. You hit the ball and everything.
Like, I don't know. Did that help Rahm? Being like a Euro, I know he's from Spain, but like being like them weathers and like the like
more conditioned,
they've
for
got
it.
More of a yeah, the more yeah. conditioned for like a bit more magic.
You look at 18 going up that big massive hill, like on the early hours on the Saturday and the early hours Sunday when they were playing, like some players were struggling to just get it to the fairway.
Yeah,
now sometimes they worry about going to the bunker left, they were going nowhere near it. So that drop in temperature that you just mentioned there, it didn't half impact. Like the distance the ball was going. And, you know, you look at Brooks Koepka, he's 13 under par through 36 holes, and he finishes the tournament 8 under. So he shot 5 over for his last 36 holes.
Yeah.
You know, that's an 18 shot difference.
Like Saturday, there's an excuse because obviously the weather dropped, different wind, it was tougher conditions. But Sunday, you're like, you're back up to 20 degrees. Like, and I know it's Masters Sunday and there's a bit more pressure, but it just seemed like when Rahm held that putt on the first, I felt like that switched the momentum. Then Brooks doesn't get up and down on the second.
Brooks missed
that little
early.
Putt. Yeah. And it's one of them times where...
It was the same thing last year with Scheffler and
yeah,
Smith,
exactly what I was about to say. Yeah, it's like one of them things, right, where I feel like that big, relaxed, chilled attitude gets you places. But then, like when Tiger, he's zen and he's chilled, I feel like you need that bit of bite as well.
Yeah,
you need that bit of like, aggression. Come on, like what have I just done there? Like let's sort this out. Whereas Brooks like, oh, Mr. Port, okay, you know, like he just carried on with that same attitude. Whereas, with like Tiger, you switch your focus and you correct your course and then you change what you're doing. Whereas every one of Koepka's putts, like he had a couple of 3 putts, he was just nowhere to be seen.
I know, and at the first couple of days, his pace putting was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like if he was putting himself in the middle of the green and playing the safe shot and giving himself 30 footers, he was knocking them to tap ins. It was very rare, and it's so easy at Augusta to knock at that like 4 or 5 foot past and have that tricky one coming back, which is basically what he was doing on the on the Sunday there, wasn't it? So yeah, I don't know what happened to him over that weekend. Maybe it was pressure. Maybe it was, I don't know.
But as you say, his pace putting there, like on 9 when Koepka was, he was hitting his wedge shots. He was pulling them. Wasn't hitting good. Like he didn't really hit many. Like he didn't stiff it once, did he really?
No.
And on 9, Rahm had spun it off the green, chipped up to like 10 foot. Kepka's got like a 25 foot putt down the hill and rams it like a good 10, 12 foot past. And then he's not even hitting the hole on the way back past, and then Rahm misses. So Koepka's probably thinking, oh, John's going to hold this, but then he obviously, which is how you've got to think, but you've still got to play for your pars. Like, you can't be assuming, I know he's going to hold it, but there is a chance he could miss.
Yeah.
And that's another swing where it's like...
He's getting too aggressive.
There was a couple of swings where, like, if that swung the other way, you're probably going down 18 with a one-shot lead.
And then it's different when you snap up that tee shot with a
like
one hitting
shot provisionals and that, it was mental, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was absolutely nuts. Yeah, but you know, he makes his made the par in the end, didn't he?
Yeah,
knocked that putt in. So, yeah, it's unbelievable. Even on 18, you know, meeting Olathabal on 18, embracing, giving him it was great to see. And you know, that victory does mean that the last 7 major winners have all been players in the 20s.
Yeah,
so we are seeing a complete change in the tide now, aren't we? With the youth in golf,
of course,
which we've seen. So
he's the 6th person to win the Masters and the US Open before the age of 29 as well.
Mm. You know, we do have these conversations. Like, I feel as though, like, Rory will win a couple and we'll go, all right, definitely Rory. Rory's number one. And Scotty will win a few, like he did a couple of weeks back. Definitely Scotty Scheffler. Yeah, he's done but number one, definitely. But now it's like, yeah, Ram's definitely number one. He's definitely
number one. He's won four times, hasn't he, this year, John Ram?
Yeah.
And like, and there's other events have been like
fourth and third as well.
And he's.
Can he do the full lot?
What, every major? Probably not.
Fair enough.
But like, it's one of them, isn't it? Like, John Rahm turns up, like, as a stellar week win. Scotty can turn up. Rory can turn up.
But you know, I know what you're saying about Brooks and that, but, you know, he doubles the first and then still shoots seven under first round. You know, a lot of players at Augusta would do that and see you later, tournament finished. So, you know, his experience now has put him in a place where he knows how to win tournaments on the biggest stage because he's done it in the past, being a past major champion. And I don't know, I just, if there was ever a player playing as, you know, like you mentioned, he's won four times in this year and we're only 4 months in, just starting the fourth month. So I think he can win all four of me. If there's ever a player and there's ever a time where somebody, just because he's got that winning mentality, he just doesn't give a shit. You know what I mean? That's he probably does deep down, but like from the outside looking in, it just looks like he's so composed and nothing seems to get to him. And all right, he's duck hooked that tee shot on 18 or whatever he's done with it, and he went a bit there, but still come off unharmed. And he had a 4-shot lead going down 18, so it didn't really matter. He's never going to make a nine, was he?
No. One of the most impressive things that, over listening to the commentary and watch John Rahm's preparation for the Masters as well, is we had Martin Keimer there literally changing his whole swing to hit a draw at will number one to try and win the Masters.
Yeah.
Whereas John Rahm just learned how to draw it. And he's been practicing it in draws.
Two holes as well.
That he needed to do it. Yeah. And he executed it all week.
10 and 13, wasn't it?
Yeah, and he 13 final round, 10 and 13.
Wow,
down there, round the corner.
That 10,
not a bother. And then the rest of the day, just getting back to his little squirty fade.
Yeah,
and it's like Martin Keimer needs to slap.
But that's what Tiger Woods, why he dominated so much, was because like Rahm's just perfected that for that week. But Tiger used to work on that all the time. Tiger Woods could shape the ball high, low, left, right, at the time when he needed it under pressure.
Yeah.
Every time. And that's what you forget sometimes about Tiger. Like, that's how good he was. Right, we're getting impressed by John Rahm because he's played a draw on two holes for the week.
I'm more impressed with the fact that he's not trying to he knows his game.
Yeah.
He just needs another string to his bow. Like, where does, I don't know what Cam was up to there, changing his whole swing.
Yeah. Probably bad advice.
Definitely.
I would say bad advice because I can't imagine he'd... Maybe he wanted to run it by himself, but I don't know. But just before we move on from the Masters...
Run it by himself?
Yeah, something like that.
Hi, Martin.
It's me again.
Should I change my swing today?
Look in the mirror.
Do it. Do it now.
Thea Gala and the Tiger Chip.
Thea Gala, unreal.
He's a cracker, isn't he?
Yeah.
Very likeable guy, him.
Just the everything about, like, even Thea Gala even said that the people in the crowd were saying, like, do for Tiger, do for Tiger. Yeah. And he's like, and he went and done it. And he was like,
underplayed it, though.
He underplays his whole self.
Well, I was just about to say this, the Netflix documentary where he was like underplaying his ability. And then he hits that Tiger chip, basically. And, you know, the Tigers was a bit different because he was in contention and he pulled it off and went on to win, did he?
Yeah, the playoff, with DeMarco, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So went on to win the tournament. So, you know, that chip's in history, but that was just as good, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
So, it just, don't know why he's playing himself down there.
No, it was. It was unbelievable. I mean, it wasn't just as good because Tiger was coming, like, across, so he had to get it to the apex and then release it, whereas Thea Gala just had to get it to it. Like, Tiger's was a full change of direction, wasn't it?
Yeah, he went that way to spin it,
to stop it, and then bring it all the way back, whereas Thea Gala had to just... get it up there and get it in.
Yeah. Went a lot faster as well. Like scooped around. So this was last roll with the night.
Last roll, yeah. Oh, I dreamed of that. Like, it was just unreal. But, and at the, yeah. But just like I always say, well, Tiger's chip, what was he even doing there? what was he doing there? Awful position.
Yeah, it was.
Like, that's a good club and a bit longer than where he needed to be in life.
That's a big pull, wasn't it?
Yeah. But, like, just obviously concluding the Masters there, Liv having a homer on the leaderboard there.
Yeah.
Reed, congratulations, like unbelievable. Phil Mickelson was the surprise package for me. Oh, like, yeah. And he just seemed happy.
The way he conducted himself the whole week was just perfect, wasn't it? He wasn't.
I was
bitter.
A bit worried when he was saying like he sat at the Champions dinner, didn't really speak much, kept himself to himself.
Yeah.
And,
but you know what? Like he had that instant, didn't he? Where those comments came out and he switched himself off from media completely for a few months, and everyone was half worried about him. Weren't they? What's he up to? And then, you know, he seems to have come back this season, lost a load of weight, got himself into really good shape, and okay, not being the best of form on Liv, but you know, this is definitely going to put him in a position now where.
Well, I think he had a nice last round in Orlando, and then got through. So
we should see him kick on now from this. But I just think the way he conducted himself, the way he was very respectful in his interviews, he wasn't trying to score points, and do anything. Like,
I think they've been the way that the PGA Tour point scored and blacking them out, and you know, it's 54 holes, blah blah blah, the rest of it. Whereas, like, I think the Live guys are probably just told to bite your tongue, be respectful, and like we might get a seat in the big bed one day.
Well, to be honest, the PGA Tour and the majors hold all the cards, don't they?
Yeah, because you've got, like, you know, you start bad man. But even Patrick Reed said, like, everyone was respectful. Everyone was thinking, oh, there's a few murmurs every now and again, but, like, there was a few people cheering, saying, go for aces and all the rest of it, which is...
At the end of the day, we're golf fans, aren't we?
Yeah, surprised that Augusta haven't put, like, all the Live team names as banned words at Augusta. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't say mashed potato, four aces,
sweep the leg, Johnny,
or high flyers.
Yeah,
but you're done. Yeah, but no, I obviously thoroughly enjoyed the Masters, like we always do. But I just, like you say there, similar to last year, you feel as though you're going to have a battle right to the end, and it's always brilliant when there's a battle to the end and there's a bit nervous of who's going to win. But last two seasons, you know, a four putt to win a tournament, and then obviously this year a four shot lead going down 18. It is a bit of a anti-climax, but it didn't take away the quality of the
viewer. But it's well played, John Rahm, isn't it?
Yeah, fantastic. Onwards, like, and upwards.
3 point sort of million as well for his troubles.
Yeah, 18 million pace. Yeah,
bang,
unbelievable. Not as much as this week though.
No,
the RBC Heritage, which is week two on the Bogey Boys Fantasy Golf League. Before we start, big congrats to Josh, picking John Rahm, getting the win, Shane Lowry, Billy Horschel, and Sepp Straka, all players making the cuts.
I'm just so positive that I picked Sepp Straka, you know. I just didn't.
No. He was the pick, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was the pick. I went, oh, madness, and picked some freshman. Amateur.
Freshman.
It almost lasted. but yeah, no, congratulations, Josh. We've sent over the £50 appear on clothing voucher for your victory in the major, and obviously is now leading the order of merit for the month and the overall order of merit.
Me and you are absolutely propping it up bottom.
Propping it up though at the bottom. 60 points, 200 behind Josh we are.
It's only a little pot four may cut or something there, isn't it? Like, you know, yeah. Like, do you know, like, or a pot four doing well. It's easy
to...
Josh can do it.
We can all do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Alex is second, 230. So Josh's got a 30-point lead.
Need to look into his picture. I need to Stuart's inquiry because he holds all the cards, doesn't he? Nah, I'm joking. Well played, Alex.
Phil Mickelson, he went 4 years, got him 150 points. Phil, top point scorer for the weekend.
He put them in, and then he texted the group saying, just they're the only four golfers I've heard of.
Then
he just shows you, doesn't it? Like,
it does.
One time last year, I was going for like Luke List and Kevin Kisner just because they had the same
KK and LL.
I was beating you. That's all that matters.
Well, this time we've gone for full stats, and it's hard not to at the RBC, isn't it? Harbortown Golf Links.
Oh, it's the site of the best moment in Bogey Boys podcast history, isn't it?
It was unbelievable.
Webb Simpson.
If no one's seen the clip, go on the Instagram and try and find
We'll resurface it. It was unbelievable.
Just
go
to bits, don't we? I don't know what happened that week, but we just went nuts, didn't we? We couldn't get our words out.
It was something to do with Webb Simpson, wasn't it?
It was Webb Simpson, yeah. Don't start again. Let's move on. But yeah, so obviously, as we know, Harbortown Golf Links, it's known for its tight fairways, get a position off the tee.
It is. It's not the longest, is it? It's only 7,121 yards, par 71.
Yeah.
But it's known for its small greens, tight fairways.
Well, that's it. Yeah, you know, even if you hit the fairway, if you're in the wrong position on the fairway, them small greens become even smaller because you've got the overhanging trees as well. So it's not just about hitting the fairways and getting it accurate round there. It's about where you position it because you've got the it's very well strategically placed bunkers as well.
Yeah.
So
the last two winners, Jordan Spieth and Stuart Sink, they were first tee to green strokes gained.
Yeah.
So that just shows you.
It's key, yeah, and you need to scramble well. So, you know, the average on the PGA Tour distance is in excess of 280, between 280, 290 yards off the tee. Round here, the average is 260, 265.
Yeah.
So you will see a lot of three woods, a lot of positional plays off the tee, which essentially is going to leave longer clubs into the greens and it's smaller targets. So that's why the scoring is never, you know, they never blow the course out the water. But the better iron strikers are always the ones who perform well here.
Yeah, as you say, with the small greens, when I looked at the size of all the greens and averaged them out, it's 3,700 square foot on average, the greens.
Well done.
Yeah. Well, that's smaller, isn't it, compared to like you've just come from Augusta where
they are the smallest greens on tour. So, you know, you are looking for players this week who are very accurate. You know,
it's a ball strikers tournament.
Yeah,
isn't it?
you're never gonna outpower this place no matter what. You need to keep the ball in the right positions, and then when you do miss greens, which is inevitable because they are so small, you know, you just need to scramble well. So they're the statistics that I've certainly been looking at for this week is, you know, strokes gained off the tee, you know, better iron players and things like that. That it's
yeah, I've gone for driving accuracy.
Yeah.
Obviously, because although you can be strokes gained approach, you still need to be in the positions to hit the greens.
Yeah, of course.
And I've gone like greens regulation and I've just looked at
same
mainly off the tee, mate.
Same, yeah, because, you know, there's three par fives on this track. You know, it's a par 71, like you say. But regardless of distance, hole two has a 2.7% eagle rate and hole five has a 1.9% eagle rate, which is, you know, they just don't give up.
Null and void.
Null and void, yeah, exactly. As we've seen on this podcast. So,
hey, well, I forgot to mention on the Masters there, the winning formula, no doubles, was null and void.
It was null and void.
Oh, yeah, but anyway.
But, you know, this is, like we mentioned there, it's a designated event, so the field is jam-packed with unbelievable talent. Obviously, Rory's announced this week that he's withdrawing, which is his second withdrawal in the first six designated events, which is disappointing considering he was the one who was calling out that we need these to get the players.
He just needs them. He's going through that transition, his stuff, wedges, yeah, putters, slagging the driver,
yeah,
having a shocker at the Masters, and withdrawing this week. He's in a bit of a
mad
headspace, isn't he?
Rory's not there. Obviously, Tiger's not there. Other notables that are missing in the top 50 in the world, at least, is Matsuyama has decided not to play, and Aaron Wise is still taking a break. So other than that, you know, we've got 27 of the top 30 players in the world in attendance. The purse increase has gone from 8 million last season to now 20 million, which is across the board. You mentioned there Jordan Spieth, defending champ. He's finished 13 under par last season to win it, so you can see it doesn't give up that much on the course. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, Scottie Scheffler's playing his first tournament here as well, so he's never played this event before. A lot of the players, they do tend to take the week off because of how grueling the Masters is. So it's going to be like no other RBC Heritage we've seen before.
Yeah.
Strongest field. So if we moved on to our picks then, who have you gone for in pot one?
So pot one, I've gone for Colin Morikawa.
Snap. I've gone for him, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you my reasons. Do you know, yeah, I was going to go for John Rahm because of all the obvious reasons. First in the world, first in the FedEx. But he's 76th in driving accuracy. And I just think that'll bring him unstuck this week.
Yeah.
So I've gone for Colin Morikawa. He's second in driving accuracy.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's ninth in strokes gained overall. And he's eighth in greens in regulation. Coming off a top 10 at the Masters. The one thing that was nearly taking me back to John Rahm, he's 119th strokes gained putting. So that is a worry, but it's a ball striker's golf course, and there's no one better with a mid and short iron than for striking the ball than Colin Morikawa.
Yeah, and he's trending in the right direction. Looking at his rounds around this course as well, he's played 12 competitive rounds with a scoring average of 69, and in his last three tournaments, he's finished 10th, 28th, and 13th. You mentioned there, second in drive and accuracy. He's also second in approach to the green.
Yeah.
So his game just sets up perfectly for this tournament. He's just under 65% in scrambling. But what I did notice when I watched him at the Masters, his short game was looking sharp.
So, it was.
I think if he hasn't won on the PGA Tour in nearly 2 years now, Colin Morikawa. So, I think that's the only thing that makes me think he's a bit more hungry as well. He wants to get that one over the line. So, he hasn't won on US soil in over 2 years.
So, his last win was the PGA? Or has he won another event since then?
He's won another event, but just not on US soil.
Right.
So he hasn't won in America for almost 2 years now.
And he's better than that.
He is. Yeah.
Like, he's much better than that, isn't he?
Yeah.
It's just the end of, he's better than that, isn't he? And then,
well, you mentioned here that you nearly picked John Rahm. I nearly picked JT Post, didn't I? Yeah.
Right.
So over from 2017 to 2022, so in the last 5 years, JT Poston has played 14 competitive rounds and he's got the lowest scoring average of all the field. And that includes Patrick Cantlay, Shane Lowry, Colin Morikawa, Tyrrell Hatton, Tommy Fleetwood, Matt Fitzpatrick, all those players. He's 68.29 scoring average. So always seems to have a good knock round. Yeah. His form's been trending too. He finished 34th last week. Previous two tournaments, he's finished 9th and 10th before that as well. And he's in the top half of the rankings for strokes gained off the tee, strokes gained approach to the green. And he's 14th in greens in regulation at just under 70%. So,
man, you changed it to him then?
You know what it's like in pot one?
I just want you to be away from me.
But you do know what it's like in pot one. That top line, the top two lines, it's hard to strain away from them. But if I'm going to back him with the bookies, JT right. Poston, because he's 90-1.
Is he, yeah?
Yeah, so I think looking at those statistics...
Well, even Morikawa, he's 20-1, and like your big three.
Yeah.
Or your big two, because Rory's pulled out. You're looking at 8-9-1 for John Rahm and Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah.
So, JT Poston, yeah, that would have been a... Do you know what? I hope he wins, you know?
I'll back him in the bookies, so I hope he wins as well.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, so who have you gone for pot two then?
My pot two is Keith Mitchell.
Wow.
As you as well?
Same as well. Yeah.
Well, I think this probably course, for the same reasons. Well, he's 100-1. He's 55th in the FedEx and he's a 46th in the World Golf Rankings. He's been having, he's always there or thereabouts, isn't he? He's first total driving and he's
seven
strokes gained off the tee.
Yeah.
And he's 24th strokes gained total. Knock out the few that aren't there that are probably above him. Probably top 20, isn't he, if you take out Rory and all that?
Well, I think, yeah, and you look at, 67% of greens in regulation as well, and he's got a positive strokes gained for putting this season. So his strokes gained putting is actually better than Morikawa's. You know, he obviously hasn't. Morikawa's greens in regulation was just over 70%. He's at 67, so pretty similar. You know, Morikawa was 8th in greens in regulation.
Well, it's that we noticed on the greens in regulation between like first, which was John Rahm, which was like say 74% to 68, you can be 80th, and you're only talking 6%, which is like three greens or something.
It's the caliber of players,
of course.
You know, so Keith Mitchell's definitely he's made 12 of 14 cuts so far this season. He's had 5 top 25s and 3 top 10s. So
the only thing that was worrying a little bit for Keith Mitchell, and obviously he's in pot two and he's 100-1, so it's he's obviously got weaknesses. He's 106th in approach, and I think your approach play around here has got to be bob on. So if he needs to clean that up a little bit, but like I say, I've gone for in the first two pots, I've gone for people who are driving the ball well, and he's first total driving.
Yeah,
so
no one's better. No
he's
one's
putting himself in them sorts of positions, clean up his approach play a little bit. He's in prime position. 1,000,000% to
well, I'm backing him because
get top 10.
Yeah, I'm backing him because he's in my pot too as well. So that was easy enough. What about
pot three? Are we getting separated then?
Well, hopefully you haven't picked Aaron Rye for pot three.
No, I've gone there for Akshay Bhatia.
Okay.
272nd in the world, 250-1, ninth greens in regulation, 13th strokes gained approach. He's fifth in proximity. So that bears well on small greens.
It does.
109th strokes gained total, which isn't the best, but he's only just become a PGA Tour member. So most of the stats that are here for Akshay are based on his invites that he's had.
Okay.
So he's 86th in driving accuracy and 65th total driving, 72nd putting, which middle of the pack. But then again, you're pot three, aren't you?
Yeah.
And from judging, I've never fully watched him at play, but I've seen him hit the ball and he's a ball striker.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
He's having a good season. He had a good season on the Korn Ferry last year. He won his first event as an official Korn Ferry member and then fell off, finishing 30th overall. But he's earned special temporary membership to the PGA Tour by finishing runner-up in the 2023 Puerto Rico Open a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
So keen to obviously cement his membership on the PGA Tour.
Well, that's how Zalatoris got it, wasn't it?
Exactly.
You know, so he's taking the same path as him, you know, getting that. Playing very well on the Korn Ferry Tour, getting the invites. Playing well,
Zalatoris win three times? Oh, no, Zalatoris.
Mito Pereira won three
Mito
times.
Mito Pereira, but Zalatoris wasn't a full member, but then he had to win to cement his membership.
He wasn't a full member, and then he kept finishing top 10 with his invites. So he was getting him next place, and he was playing so well, and then eventually he got his card through the win.
He's going to be a PGA Tour player full very shortly, isn't he, really?
Yeah, and he's only young as well, isn't he? So, yeah. He's got plenty of...
All of his stats there were lining up to... He's up there. He's top 10 in a couple of categories, and he's floating around in the top 100 with a few categories. So, pot three, to make the cut, I think he's a solid bet.
Yeah.
What about yourself, Aaron Rye?
Well, Aaron Rye, 251, like Bhatia. He's, again, ninth in driving accuracy for the season. He's at 67% of fairways hit, and he's 15th in greens and regulation at 69%. Yeah. So... I think based on how this course
fairways and greens
up, yeah. He's also first in the most consecutive greens in regulation in a row. He's at 33 greens in a row, and nobody's beaten that this season.
That's what you want.
Results-wise, this season, he's missed four cuts in 16. So, you know, he's playing well, and he's making cuts, and he's competing for the four rounds most of the time. He's had three top 25s, one top 10, and his last two events on the PGA Tour... he was tied 29th at the Valero and tied 19th at the Players. Yeah. So, you know, when he's turning up and he's playing, he's competing. So I think a pot three with those odds and given his statistics and the way he's striking the ball and playing, you know, I think his game is really suited for Harbour Town Golf Links.
No, 1,000,000%. My pot four is Russell Knox. Coming in with zero form,
stats.
Yeah, but like, I mean, he's got stats.
Okay,
he's just got no form. He's missed six out of the last seven cuts. So, but
he turned it around.
Well, he has had a second in 2016 here, and that was a year when he won twice.
Sometimes players can play really bad, then the course is just
it suits them. Yeah, he's 119th in the FedEx and he's 213th in the world.
Yeah, he's not playing well, has he?
500-1, but approach from 100 yards this season, he's first, so that stands him in good stead on a shorter course. He's fourth in proximity and he's 13th in greens in regulation. What's letting him down is his strokes gained total, which is he's 132nd, but his strokes gained approach is 12th. His putting average is 178th, and his strokes gained putting is 162nd.
So he's getting the ball on the green, yeah, he's just not converting.
So just looking at that, he's 55th in driving accuracy there. So if he can obviously drive it,
sounds like the course would suit his game.
This is what I'm saying. He's hitting greens, he's driving it okay, he's hitting it close. And he's good with his approach. It's just his putting.
Just needs to knock them in, yeah.
So, I can't remember who it was a couple of weeks ago, where I was like, if he has a good putting week, he can turn this round. And he went and done it. So, Russell Knox, you know what you've got to do. Be warned.
Knocks on the door.
Yeah.
I've gone Matthias Schwab. Nice. He hasn't had that many starts on the PGA Tour this season. But he's made four of his last six cuts. He finished 8th at the Corrales Punta Cana after challenging there and 54 at the Players. say his stats aren't the best, but the two things that stood out for me was scrambling and driving accuracy. So like I say, you know, his approach to the greens not nowhere near to the calibre of the players that have picked in the pots above. But I just think as a pot four, he's 61.6% on driving accuracy. And he's got similar scrambling stats to Morikawa.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, if he sharpens up his approach game, his game's obviously at a decent standard if he's finishing top 10 in a PGA Tour event, albeit the Corrales Punta Cana is a weakened field. But, you know, I just think with small targets this week, scrambling's going to play a big part.
Massive.
And, you know, if he's going to, he's getting the ball well off the tee, you know, these pros are good enough to have an iron day and knock a few putts in. We could see him at least make the cut and have a challenge at 600-1, pot four, say.
That's all you can ask for if you pot four and make the cut. And then once that's done, anything else after that's a bonus, isn't it? Yeah. Like in judging for the game.
Yeah, no, definitely.
So I think we've both, hopefully, our pot ones and twos do well, and then hopefully my pot three and four do well.
It's always about
we need to get off the bottom of that leaderboard anyway.
It is embarrassing that. Do you know what, though? In our defence, if we look at the league table, like who have we picked? Pot one, I went Rory, missed the cut, had a stinker. Tittle Hatton was like that for the whole way and then had a poor final round.
Like
he could have got a top 20.
If I had to pick with my head, I was picking Scheffler or Rahm or Rory. Like, really, they were the three players to pick. And I don't really pick Rory, so I probably would have went Rahm or Scheffler.
Yeah.
That would get you a few points, not Tiger.
Yeah, Tiger was a mad one.
And then Max Homer just let me down, Max.
Yeah. Yeah, Max Homer. At least he made the cut.
He did.
So, and then I went Taylor Gooch and, yeah, Gordon Sargent. Where I come from. It's just off the cuff. Do you know, there's a couple of, you know what got me to pick him? It was the stats that we chose, wasn't it? Where we said, like, he's the first freshman to win the NCAA and the calibre of players that you put him in.
You just picked the wrong amateur, didn't you?
Yeah, I picked the wrong amateur, yeah. But anyway.
Ah, well.
60 points we both got. So we're second to bottom. And
it'd be horrible, wouldn't it, if we were leading?
Yeah. Got to give everyone a chance, haven't we? But I don't think our picks were that bad.
I'll DM you. You're a £50 voucher this week. Oh, no, it's for the PGA, isn't it?
This is it, yeah. So, no, I hope everyone's enjoying it anyway. And, you know, we're going to be doing these every tournament week now. We're going to be coming with statistics of what we think is going to drive quality play and the champion at the end of the week. So, you know, we both think Morikawa's going to get it over the line. Keith Mitchell's a good bet for his odds. I think JT Poston at 90-1 as well. I'm definitely going to be backing him this week. So I'm going to put my money on those three: Keith Mitchell, JT Poston, and Colin Morikawa. Colin Morikawa for the win each way on the other two. And then I might do a little top 20 for them and include Ryan.
Over the season, one of us has got to get a top 20 accumulated, haven't we?
Got to.
Like,
putting all this effort in, we've surely got to get rewards, haven't we?
If not, staff betting's gone out the window. We're going to do guest betting.
But yeah, look, if anyone that's listening who's not involved in the game, feel free to sign up. As I say, there is a order of merit for each month. So every month, even if you don't play for the month of April and you start afresh in May, you know, all the points are cut down to zero and you start a brand new order of merit. The accumulation will still continue
for the season,
the overall. So you'll be
even if you just wanted to play for the majors, like there's an individual prize for the majors, isn't there? So
yeah,
there's
exactly.
An incentive. There's three separate league tables and games going at the same time.
Yeah, the way that we've done it is because there's a major every month. There's a prize every month for that one individual week, and there's three to four tournaments every month. So whoever accumulates the most points for those three or four tournaments, there's a prize for that, and then obviously the overall winner will obviously be rewarded with £100 cash. And, you know, the more people that play, the more prizes that we'll get. We're having talks, as we said last time, with a couple of manufacturers.
Having a go.
Eventually it will grow arms and legs. So get involved. And if not, you know, continue to enjoy the podcast. Hope you've enjoyed this one. And hope you enjoy your golf this week. And we'll catch you all soon.
Ciao.
Ladies and gentlemen, oh boy, is he out of sync.